Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Welcome back to the show in episode 663. We are nearing the end of August, and I know that some kids around the country have already started back to school. Some of them a few weeks ago, some of them this week, and the rest of them are coming up on going back to school in the next week or two and a half or so. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about making that transition back to school. This was inspired partially by an email that my dear friend Kathy Adams of Zen Parenting Radio podcast fame sent out. And she was talking about how the transition back to school has always been a difficult one for her. And I remember her talking about this a lot over the years around this time of year. And in her email this year, she says, "It never gets any easier for me. And in some ways, it's gotten harder. Sending my oldest back to college, sending my middle to her last year of high school, sending my youngest into high school for her first year makes me sad. It hurts because it's a punctuated passage of time when I fully notice how they've grown and how life changes. It's supposed to change. It's all good. I know, I know. It's just a wave I don't easily ride. I dive into it, and sometimes it pulls me under for a bit. Late August has always been a stopping point when I allow myself to miss what was before I can accept what is. I don't like this week," I think back to school is what she's referring to, "but I appreciate the part of myself that doesn't like it. Grief is just another form of love, a reminder that I'm here now, paying attention." I noticed for myself last week, I was feeling a bit melancholy, or I guess it was at the beginning of this week. I was feeling a bit melancholy. And I thought about it. I was on a run around our neighborhood, and we have a pretty big park with a walking path. And I was on that, I was running on that path, and I was flooded with memories of being on that path with my children when they were younger. I remember pushing various ones of them around that path in strollers. I remember when my oldest son was old enough to ride a bike that far, quote unquote, from home, which is not that far, but for a little kid it is. And I remember riding the bike around that loop with him. I remember when I would be pushing my youngest son as a little baby in the stroller, and when I felt like my older son was big enough now to ride that path all the way around as fast as he could because he loved to do that. So I would walk and push the stroller. At a point we had a double stroller, I would push my daughter and my younger son in the stroller while he, my older one, would pump his little legs as fast as they would go, and he would loop me maybe two, maybe three times on his bike while I was walking. And he loved that, and it gave him such a feeling of independence and big-kiddedness. And So I was flooded with memories. There's a tennis court at that park. There's a playground. All of my kids did soccer practice at that field. And so running around that path this week, I was flooded with memories. And I was thinking about all of them at their ages that they are now. And I love them at their ages that they are. And I've loved every age that they've been. But I was very aware when my oldest son was born, when he was a newborn baby, 1, 2, 3 days old, I would just stare into his eyes in complete wonder and awe at this precious little being who entered my life. And then when he was, I don't know, a few weeks old and he made his first smile, which was a guess smile, of course, but when he smiled for the first time, I was filled with joy and wonder and gratitude. And I missed that little baby, infant, newborn who could barely open his eyes and couldn't focus on anything. And then when he, started to sit up, I was so excited because he could sit up. And then I missed, at the same time, I was excited for this new phase. I missed the little newborn phase. And then when he could walk, I was so excited because of his growing independence and he could walk and he's taking his first steps. And I was sad about the little boy who could only crawl and I had to carry him around. And so I've been acutely aware for the last 20 years, because he's 20 now, I've been acutely aware of how I have just embraced with joy and anticipation all the new milestones and chapters of their lives, of my kids' lives, while at the same time grieving for the loss of the child that they were. I love them as teenagers. I love my older son as a 20-year-old. And while I can hold that emotion of absolute love for who he is or who they are now, I also deeply grieve. When I look in my older son's eyes, he's a grown man and he's doing well and he's making his way in life. And I'm so grateful for that. And I love him so much. But when I look into that grown man's eyes, I grieve deeply for his 7-year-old self, for his 10, 12-year-old self. I grieve even deeper for the 2-year-old version of him because I hold those memories and he doesn't. He was too little. He doesn't remember. I grieve for the little baby boy he was, the newborn, because he really doesn't remember that. So it's really interesting how you can hold both love and gratitude for the present when your children are growing and grieve the, quote unquote, loss of them at their younger ages. And I talk about grieving their loss, and I'm sure those of you who know me or have been listening to my podcast long enough, you know that our oldest daughter died of a heart defect when she was a baby. So when I say I grieve the loss of my children as their younger selves, I'm not trying to make light of grief because I also know what it feels like to grieve the actual absolute loss of a child. But grief comes in many forms, and it doesn't just show up when we're grieving the death of a loved one. We can grieve the closing of a chapter. We can grieve leaving or losing a job. We can grieve the loss of a friendship. We can grieve if we're an athlete and we get a broken bone, we can grieve the loss of the time we get to play our sport. There are many things that we can grieve over. We can basically grieve over anything that is special to us, that is sacred to us, that we hold dear, a thing, a place in time, or a person, or an animal, certainly an animal. So I love Kathy's words in her email, how she gets through this challenging part of late August, and she uses it as a stopping point where she allows herself to miss what was before she can accept what is. And I think that's so true. One of the things that I did this week with my kids, and I didn't do it knowingly, it just kind of came out of my mouth. The thought occurred to me and I said it out. I asked the question out loud, but I think it's kind of neat how it helped me to hear their answers. I asked each of them how they felt about this summer and if they felt like they used their time this summer well and wisely, and if they're happy and pleased with the way they spent their summer. And all of them had a resounding yes when I asked them. There was a combination of work, free time, time with friends, a little bit of traveling, sports, a combination of different things for each of them, but they all feel good about the way they used their summer. And that brought me so much comfort and so much gratitude, because while I find myself, or earlier this week, I found myself feeling melancholy and grieving their younger selves who have evolved into their older selves, it's so comforting to me to know that they're happy with the way they spent their summers. And they're not wishing it could have been different, or they would have done this more, or they wish they could have done that, or they did too much of this. They're really happy and pleased and content with the way they spent their summers. And that makes me feel really good. I'm so happy for them. And so, you know, when I look back over this summer, I'm pretty pleased with the way it went. If I could have changed anything, maybe I would have thrown in another vacation with just the five of us. But it was challenging because they were all working and they had different schedules, and I didn't want to encourage too much time off. We just didn't kind of sneak one in, but we have a few planned over the next coming summers. So I know that we'll get some good family time in, and maybe we'll get a ski trip in this year, this winter, and what have you. So that's not a deep regret. It's just kind of like a fleeting thing. But I know that things like that, trips like that, are around the corner, so it's fine. We watched some family movies this summer. We played some games. We had family dinners. We had nice conversations about things in their lives. So I'm pretty pleased with the way this summer went as well. And I would encourage you to take a few minutes yourself and think about this summer and assess it and see if you're happy with the way your summer unfolded. And then maybe ask your kiddos that and see what they think. If they're old enough, you know, if they're two, forget it. They're not going to necessarily have a thought or an answer for you. But if they're old enough, ask them how they feel their summer went and if they feel pleased with the way they spent their time. I remember one summer particularly when my kids were very young. Maybe they were 2, 4, and 7, something like that, somewhere around that time frame. We got near the end of the summer. I like to go to the beach a lot. We live 45 minutes from the beach, so we can take a day trip easily. We got to like early August, and I think we'd been to the beach maybe twice, and usually we get down there 8 to 10 times a year, probably. And I realized the summer was nearly over. Maybe it was mid-August. Goodness, the summer's nearly over, and we have barely been to the beach. This is the time we go, and we have not taken the opportunity to get down there. So I realized at the end of the summer, I realized that I was not happy with kind of letting that slip through my fingers. So every year since then, I've made it a very intentional part of my summer that I make sure that I'm aware of getting down there to the beach a number of times. That makes me feel good. And so now that they're older, it's not all five of us every time. It's just whoever's free, whatever's going on, what have you. So if you look back over your summer and you're pleased with the way it went, I would take note of what you liked about it, what you fit in, what you did not choose to fit in, and allow that to inform you about how you intentionally want to move into next summer. If you are not super pleased with how this summer went, take notes on that too. Make notes to yourself of what you want to change for next summer so that you can intentionally go in making good use of your time. Our time is the most precious thing we have, and it is fleeting, and we don't get it back. We'll never have this summer again. But you don't have to feel depressed about that thought, because you'll never have next summer again, and it hasn't yet gotten here. So you can go into next summer with intentionality and doing your best to use that time in a way that makes you feel content and joyful and happy. And I would say the same thing for your kiddos. See what they liked about the summer. See what they didn't like. See what they might want to add next year or take out next year, so that you can teach them how to live mindfully and intentionally and consciously. I think that's the best thing that we can do as humans. We have this higher level consciousness. Why don't we just use it? Use it more. Use it as often as possible. Mindfully and intentionally and consciously go through our days so that we're not wasting the precious thing that we have, which is time. So those are my thoughts as we are looking at wrapping up this summer here in the United States. And I hope that it has inspired you to ponder the time that you've spent over the last few months and see how you feel about it, and if you're pleased or if you'd like to make some changes. And if you invite your kids to have that same, to take the time to do that same assessment for their summer. Okay, that wraps up today's episode. Wherever you are in this world, I hope you make it a very conscious, intentional, contented day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.